You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And again, you can join in on the conversation by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I was reading an article in the Daily Signal titled, "I Was Once Transgender." It's written by Walt Hare. And he writes that paying for transition-related services and surgeries for military service members and their families is beyond comprehensible. And yet the cultural narrative is that people are neither male nor female. They are gender fluid. Sometimes they're male, and sometimes they're female. And then again, they're male again. The physical facts fix all the facts, except when it comes to gender. The biology you are born with should play no role whatsoever in this view. Far more important is how you feel about your gender. And this is particularly important with respect to children. In the narrative, little girls who feel themselves to be little boys must be allowed at all costs to change their genitalia to match their gendered feelings. Likewise, little boys who feel themselves little girls must be permitted to alter their biology. And while some have said that this amounts to nothing short of child abuse, the cultural narrative seems increasingly persuasive to the masses. Those who object are roundly rebuked as close-minded, homophobic, outright bigoted, or worse. The analogies are plentiful. To be against gender fluidity, well, that's kind of like regressing back to the Dark Ages in which women were not allowed to participate as soldiers in the field, or the time in which African Americans were, well, not allowed to vote. But this narrative is not a narrative that everyone agrees with, and therefore I was really glad to see what Walt Hare had to say. And I think coming from him, the words are ever more poignant because he was once transgender himself and discovered that Congress voted earlier this month to not block funding for transgender-related hormone therapies and sex change surgeries. And when all of that came to be, he wondered if it was considered how devastating this will be to the fitness, the readiness, and the morale of our combat-ready troops. In his view, the military ought not to be a government-funded, politically correct, medical sex change clinic for people with gender dysphoria. The most important factors in preparing a strong military are not hormone therapy or surgical sex changes or, for that matter, politically correct education. And he points out that while countless homeless vets are currently sleeping under cardboard boxes or perhaps waiting for life-saving care from the Department of Veterans Affairs, transgender military recruits now qualify for preferential coverage for sex change procedures that are scientifically unproven and extremely expensive. Hare goes on to note that he himself was fully sex reassigned from male to female, but eventually came to deeply regret his choice of feelings over biological facts. Transitioning is not only obscenely expensive, but in the end, the change is merely cosmetic. Because no matter how much money is expended, it is biologically impossible to change a man into a woman or a woman into a man. And even beyond the financial cost, there's the question of military readiness during the transition or detransition process, which is replete with a great deal of anxiety and emotional instability. His conclusion? Well, as a former trans female who works every day with regretters, allowing the military to pay for sex change surgeries not only makes a mockery of the military, but it makes a mockery of what it means to be human. We are in the midst of a huge social experiment. And this is not a time for Christians to be silent. This is a time in which we as Christians must speak out. We must do so with gentleness and with respect. And there's a reason. If you truly love people, you tell them the truth. The regretters, as Harris points out, the regretters are in a situation that oftentimes simply can't be reversed. You can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And so many of them commit suicide. And when this comes to roost in our military, we ought to be thinking that perhaps it is time for the Christian community, which is quite large, to speak out, have their voices heard, as opposed to simply being cowed into silence because of the consequences of speaking out. Well, we're going to go to your calls in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But an announcement we had recently, I think just a couple of days ago, been on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. We did a Bible Answer Man Facebook live broadcast for about an hour. And during the broadcast, we asked people to you'll get the terminology correct, Christina, but to become followers of Spreaker. Mm-hmm. And that in order that we can get onto iHeart Radio. And so we needed 100 to pass the test, so to speak. And thanks to people listening in to Facebook Live, we have almost 200.
Yeah, and we have a testimony actually from Sandra who says, "So happy to see today that you are way past 100, 194 on Spreaker. Congratulations." For a second, I thought she was trying to say you were 100. Just kidding.
Well, looking at me,
it's a credible
deduction.
But anyway, we got two other testimonies. We have one from Tim from Costonia who says, "We need more voices out there like Hank. I pray the roots of his ministry run deeper and stronger and longer." And then Nick says, "A recent evangelical church we are members of lost more than half of the membership after the pastor was fired. It made us think, why is church centered around the pastor instead of worshiping God? To be honest, when I heard of your conversion, I was relieved. I've been listening to you since 1997.
Never, ever heard of someone saying that they were relieved by my conversion to Orthodoxy. That's a breath of fresh air. Let's go to the phone lines. Doreen, listening on Delta, or in Delta, British Columbia, Canada, K-A-R-I. Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Hank. I listen to you just about every day.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to ask a question, but lay down a foundation first for my question, and I'll ask it at the end. We know that Jesus is Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the Father is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and shadow of turning. And Jesus said heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would never pass away. And Jesus said to his own disciples in Matthew 24, verse 20, about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, which was to be 40 years after he died. And he said to his own disciples, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And in Isaiah 66, verse 23, when Jesus comes back, he said, it shall come to pass.
Doreen, is there a question in all of this?
And from one Sabbath to another.
Doreen, is there a question in all of this?
And worship before me, says the Lord.
Doreen, you're preaching. Is there a question here?
Well, I said the question. I'm putting down a foundation for the question at the end.
So what is the foundation for the question in short?
That's what I was
what are you asking?
About the Sabbath, and then I'm going to ask you the question at the end.
Yes, but what you're doing is you're preaching, and you're communicating
I'm just
a particular...
Word, Jesus.
What you're doing is you're...
No, I was laying down a foundation for about the question.
Right.
Can I do
so
that?
So is your question... have anything to do with whether or not Christians must worship on Sunday
no.
rather than the Sabbath day?
Oh, it's about also. Could you just listen to me and then you'll understand what I'm saying?
Well, just ask the question.
Yeah.
What is your question? Yeah, I think you're probably wise enough to be able to formulate your question in a sentence.
Yeah, well, if Jesus said all these things and his words never pass away, and today, like, I looked in the concordance and I saw that...
Okay, so I get the question, Doreen, but here's the point in answer to your question. If you insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, then you ought to be forewarned that failing to keep the letter of the law is hazardous to your health, because according to Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath has to be put to death. But the Apostle Paul explained that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And if you understand the grand meta-narrative of Scripture, what you immediately understand is that there are types and shadows in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New. And the quintessential point of understanding for the New Testament church was that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest, that Christ fulfills all the types and shadows that come before. And therefore, going back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, is sheer apostasy. We ought not to be involved in that. It is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So as long as you recognize that the greatest snare is a failure to recognize that Jesus Christ fulfilled, he didn't abolish, he fulfilled. As long as you understand that, then worship on Saturday if you like. But unfortunately, too many people, and I know the progression of what you're doing. I've had this done by so many Seventh-day Adventists over such a long period of time. It's first preach the sermon as opposed to really want an answer to your question, and that is why I didn't permit you to do that. I typically would allow someone to ask a question or even to contextualize the question, but that's not what you were doing. You have a predilection in a particular direction, and it's a very dangerous one. And it's not one that I want to lend a pulpit to. And therefore, I hope that you will think about this clearly and biblically. Scripture provides us with the reasons behind the symbol of the Sabbath. I remember in Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's completed work in creation. After the Exodus, it was expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. And as a result of Christ's resurrection, the Sabbath emphasis shifted to a celebration of the rest that we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin and the grave. And again, as I just said, for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. Now, it's a highly dangerous thing in the 21st century to set yourself up as an authority against the whole weight of church history. If you look at the weight of church history, you find that Christians worshiped on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection, again, the resurrection through which we have our Sabbath rest. Be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
In a brilliantly produced documentary film on DVD from the Discovery Institute titled Revolutionary, Professor Michael Behe, a distinguished biochemist and recognized leader in the intelligent design movement, pokes serious holes in Darwinism with trailblazing insights into irreducible complexity. You might be asking, what is irreducible complexity? It is a concept clearly explained in Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This DVD will show you exactly why Darwin's theory is well past its prime. To receive a copy of the DVD, Revolutionary, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Other topics include the divide between Sunni and Shia Muslims, challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, when freedom of expression and emotions collide on campus, does God have a spirit body, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads, this film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death.
Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Pro-choice advocates often contend that while human embryos are biological members of the human species, embryos have not yet reached the developmental stage necessary to identify them as persons. But is a human embryo a potential person or a person with great potential? Clinton Wilcox decisively answers this question in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go back to our phone callers. Next up is Chris, listening in Wilmington, Delaware, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
So often, we in today's church, I'd like to call it churchianity, we're so focused on emotions, on feelings, and I myself fell into that for a period, searching for validation, searching for a way to feel better, But the key to finding and sustaining your joy, I found, is through Christ, is through an intimate relationship with Christ. And it seems just that we're in a losing battle with this modern way of thinking, of feelings first and political correctness over truth. And my question in regards to that is what can we do as Christians to make the truth the dominant force of culture once again, the way it used to be?
Well, yeah, I think we have to be those who understand truth and communicate truth effectively in our culture, because we do live in a post-truth culture. The recognition, however, is in the words of Jesus Christ himself, who said, I am the way and the truth, but he also said, I am the way and the life. And so I think it's important for Christians to recognize that there is knowing and knowing. There's understanding and understanding. You can understand cognitively, but you can also understand in other ways. You can know Christ through the graces that he bestows upon you through the ground and pillar of the church. We oftentimes say, in terms of metaphor, the map is not the territory, the menu's not the meal, and we should not mistake the cradle for its occupant. If you have the truth, if you have a relationship with the one who is the truth, well, the feelings are going to be pretty raw and pretty wonderful, because the more you get to know Christ, the more emotion you feel in that experiential knowing of Christ. So I do agree with your point. I think all too often you have the cart in front of the horse. You have things backwards, so people appeal to a kind of feel-good Christianity that is long on looks and short on substance, and all of that leaves people pretty empty.
Absolutely. Well said. I just think, if we're the church, if we're the body, we have to realize that we are failing miserably. So we have to take this fight back. That's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the salt loses its saltiness, as Jesus said, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. We are the light of the world, and rather than being cultural imitators, we need to be cultural initiators and change agents. I want to go to a Facebook question by Henry. Part of the reason is we only have a few days left in which we are promoting Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel, as well as Revolutionary, the story of Michael Behe, who was a reluctant revolutionary. It's a phenomenal story, but it completely undermines the evolutionary paradigm. It doesn't do it by preaching. When you see the film itself, you immediately realize If you've bought into the paradigm, you have been fooled. If you haven't bought into the paradigm, you have all the ammunition necessary to help people who have bought into the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. But the question from Henry is this: could God have used the Darwinian evolutionary process taking billions of years to bring about all living things? A couple of things I would say about that. I mean, it doesn't take God 24 hours to do anything. It doesn't take God billions of years to do anything. And I think that the idea that God used evolution is probably the worst of all possibilities. It is one thing to believe in evolution. I think it's quite another to blame God for it. A couple of reasons for saying that. The biblical account of creation specifically says that God created living creatures according to their kinds, and that is confirmed by science. The DNA for a fetus is not the DNA for a frog. Instead of that, you have the DNA for a frog uniquely programmed for reproduction after its own kind. And therefore, while scripture and science allow for microevolution or transitions within kinds, neither scripture nor science allow for macroevolution, amoebas evolving into apes and apes evolving into whatever, an astronaut. And when I say science doesn't allow for that, I mean, we're a long ways past Darwin. We're in the neo-Darwinian epoch of time, and we still don't have vertical transitional forms. I mean, Darwin's tree of life has been uprooted by the Cambrian explosion, and there are many other reasons why in an age of scientific enlightenment we shouldn't buy into this kind of mythology. Not only that, but there's a second reason that I typically like to give, and that is Darwinian evolution is cruel. It is inefficient. And as a result of that, we ought to be surprised that Christians would defend the idea that this is the process which God set up in order for us to have evolution. In fact, no less a luminary than Nobel Prize-winning evolutionist Jacques Monod said, "The struggle for life, the elimination of the weakest, is a horrible process against which our whole modern ethic revolts." And then he went on to say what I was paraphrasing earlier on: "I'm surprised that a Christian would defend the idea that this is the process which God more or less set up in order to have evolution." A third point might be instructive, and that is that theistic evolution is a contradiction in terms. God can no more direct an undirected process than he can, that he could create a squared circle. And yet this is precisely what theistic evolution presupposes. So I think when evolution is fighting for its very life rather than prop it up with theories such as theistic evolution, thinking people everywhere should be on the vanguard of demonstrating its demise. Far better that we follow the facts wherever they lead us, which is precisely what the intelligent design movement does. And this is, again, why I'm so excited about Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel. In a very humorous, informative way, he gives us all of the reasons why the evolutionary paradigm is a house of cards. I mean, it once was a well-fortified castle with elaborate towers, with moats, with battlements, and it remained in that condition for well over 100 years, from the publication of The Origin of Species in 1859 to the Darwinian Centennial, and then for perhaps three decades after that. But today, it more closely resembles a house of cards built out of flimsy icons rather than hard evidence and liable to blow away in the slightest breeze. I mean, one of those icons is the ape to man icon. And this is one of those icons that people buy into uncritically. So you see it on the cover of Time magazine or Newsweek or whatever, National Geographic, and the icon becomes the argument. It becomes a dogmatic assertion as opposed to being a defensible argument. But if you look at the icon You find out that the icon has all kinds of transitional forms which are based on conjecture, like a tooth found on a farm. And then with a little imagination, you attach the tooth to a jawbone, and the jawbone to a skull cap, and the skull cap to a skeleton. And then by the time the story hits the press, well, you not only have, in this case, I think it was Nebraska man, but you have Nebraska mom. All of that from a single tooth. And later on, in the case of Nebraska man, they found another tooth, but in this case, it was attached to a jawbone and attached to a skull cap and attached to a skeleton. And the skeleton turns out to be the skeleton of an ancient pig as opposed to one of the great transitional forms that supposedly proves that we evolved in this fashion. And you'd think that over time, mental digestion would improve, but that has hardly been the case. In 2009, so this was, less than 10 years ago, we had Darwinius Maselli. Most people don't know Darwinius Maselli by that name. They know it by a nickname, Ida. And they know about it as it had been dubbed the eighth wonder of the world, the link between humans and the rest of the animal kingdom, and the most important fossil discovery in 47 million years. Well, what happened? Well, today, no one talks about Ida. Ida has fallen into disfavor. Evolutionary scientists are uniformly convinced that she plays no role whatsoever in human evolution. And many of these icons could be named. Pithecanthropus erectus, Piltdown Man, of course, the famous fraud and forgery, Peking Man. But the icon has become the evidence, and rather than simply buying into an icon, we had to look at it critically. And again, do what the intelligent design movement does, not presuppose one thing or the other, but simply follow the truth wherever it leads. Darwin's House of Cards by Tom Bethel helps you do just that, as well as Revolutionary. This is precisely what Michael Behe did. He followed the truth wherever it led, and that uprooted Darwin's tree of life in his mind and set him upon a brand new path. Again, the story is compelling, and it is available on film, Revolutionary, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. I want to say just a couple of other things in this regard as we close out this segment and come back with the quote of the day and more answers to your questions. If you are a supporter of the ministry and you have maybe thought about joining CRI's monthly support team, this would be a great time to consider joining the Special Forces or the Green Beret, Berets that we like to call them at the Christian Research Institute. So if you give occasionally, think about joining CRI's monthly support team. If you've never given, think about getting off the bleachers and into the game. And if you've given one gift a year, we're grateful, but consider giving two or three gifts. That would equate to hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be invested in ministry, put another way, invested in the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. So consider standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial to get your questions answered live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
A battle over free speech rages within college campuses and online media. Are our universities dominated by a privileged class that forces vulnerable minorities to study in a hostile environment? Or is the real problem that oversensitive students are not learning to live with dissenting opinions in an academic environment? Don't miss When Freedom of Expression and Emotions Collide on Campus by Jay Watts in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI
or go online to equip.org. We will be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process. To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The divide between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, stems from the homicide of Muhammad. Many Shias contend that Muhammad's young wife, Aisha, committed the murder, while many Sunnis believe a Jewish woman was ultimately responsible. Despite perpetual dispute, Sunni and Shia share remarkable unanimity when it comes to the main and the plain things of Islam. Other topics include challenging the central claim of the Nation of Islam, are all religions man-made, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In this case, the revolution has been televised. Revolutionary tells the story of Michael Behe's transformation from mild-mannered biochemist to orthodoxy-challenging revolutionary. It also explores the rise of the broader intelligent design movement in biology, the attempt to silence supporters of intelligent design in federal court, and the eventual vindication of the ideas of Professor Behe and others during the last decade. It's time to think critically and stand up to the unscientific status quo. Are you ready to join Michael Behe and be a revolutionary? To receive your copy of the DVD Revolutionary, Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from King Solomon. It is one of my favorites. I remember many, many years ago, it's probably been more than 30 years ago, that I memorized Proverbs chapter 21. And I always loved verse 28, "A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever." Once again, "A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever." And I think this is particularly appropriate in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had a chance to put its boots on, to sort of roughly paraphrase Mark Twain. It's now called fake news, and it's quite astounding that this is not only something that has infected the culture, but has also infected Christians in the church. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Todd in Huntsville, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Todd.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I wanted to call and ask you a question. This is my second time calling in, and the other time I called, you gave me a really great answer to a question. I was recently in a discussion with a friend of mine who accused me sort of lovingly of being a theological fatalist. And we were discussing how, some of the more common or more well-known theories on how you reconcile the omniscience of God with free will. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit. You know, a lot of you read Augustine or some of the other more well-known explanations, you either get into some kind of far-out metaphysics or they just don't hold water logically, and I was wondering what your take was.
Well, you know, I'm increasingly convinced that I belong in the land of antinomy, which is to say that the older I have become, the more I've realized how fruitless this debate is. It brings so much contention. It brings so much strife. And I'm very happy to leave this in the realm of mystery, because on the one hand, I know that I choose my path. On the other hand, I recognize that God directs my steps. I'm so thankful that God is sovereign over the affairs of humanity. I'm also very well aware of the fact that what I do counts for all eternity. And you have both sides of this equation communicated in the Word of God, and therefore, as opposed to getting involved in this debate, I feel increasingly more comfortable leaving this in the realm of mystery. Now, having said that, this debate has been carried on, and we are happy to provide that kind of information to you. There's an article on the web at equip.org which deals with this very subject. And in fact, a number of articles. And what we do is essentially in the article, we proffer a Calvinist and their perspective on this, and then a non-Calvinist. So if you go to equip.org, there are two debate articles. How should Christians approach the problem of evil? Is the first, and the second, the divine sovereignty, human responsibility debate. I strongly come down on the fact that what I do now counts for all eternity, that I have the ability to act or to act otherwise. But again, rather than pursue this debate, I have retreated into the land of antinomy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Roger, listening in California. Hi, Roger.
Oh, hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have and I hope you're doing okay. I've been praying for you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear it, Hank. My wife, she suffered with some cancer and had to go through some things like that. God's been good to us. But, Hank, I do have a question for you, and I just was curious in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, I guess when Philip had went to Samaria, and he under his ministry and his message of preaching the gospel, people were healed, and different miracles happened. But then in the 14th verse of that, it says that they... whenever Peter and John, I guess they heard of it in Jerusalem, they went there and laid hands on those folks that have been baptized and they received the Holy Spirit. My question is, why didn't that happen under Philip's ministry?
Well, there's a couple of things going on here. I think you have the Jerusalem Pentecost, and you also have the Samarian Pentecost, and so there is a way in which you can contextualize it from that perspective. What's going on in the Samarian Pentecost, therefore, is very analogous to what happened before in Jerusalem. And one has to do with the epicenter of the Levant. The other has to do with the gospel going out to the Gentiles, and therefore you have the dual notes in Acts chapter 1 and 2, and then later on in Acts chapter 8.
I see. I guess whenever they did, though, receive the message that Philip preached, they were saved then, right?
Well, yeah, and I think the distinction you have to make here is, acquiescing to what you just said, is that there's a distinction between indwelling and infilling, which is to say that when someone is saved, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The infilling is a different idea in Scripture. It is daily being infilled with the Spirit so that what we do is not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So again, those who are in Christ are not only indwelt by, but also infilled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said to His disciples, "I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor. He will be with you forever." He was not suggesting that the Holy Spirit was not already working redemptively within His followers. Jesus was saying that the Spirit would manifest in the special empowerment of each believer to proclaim the gospel. And so when people talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I often say, maybe you shouldn't use the word "the." Maybe you should say the idea is that this may be a manifestation, speaking in tongues, as it's called oftentimes the second blessing, but it is not the, because what you have communicated over and over again in Scripture is the empowerment, a special empowerment of each believer to proclaim the gospel. So while the indwelling of the Spirit happens at conversion, the infilling of the Spirit happens continually. And therefore, I daily pray before I go on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Lord, infill me so that what I do is not by might nor by power, but rather by Your Spirit.
Yeah, I was just curious, Hank, because even later down the couple of scriptures there where that Simon was, you know, he got baptized and was following, he wanted to purchase that. So he must have saw something in that whenever Peter laid his hands on those people that intrigued him so much that he is willing to pay for it, you know.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the infilling of the Spirit is not something to trifle with, and it is. I mean, when you think about being empowered by the Spirit, you're talking about a complete transition in your humanity, because now what you are experiencing by God's grace is a change from being merely human to being a human who by grace becomes a partaker of the divine nature. And that is not nothing, as my father used to say.
Yeah, and it's not always by speaking in tongues, right? I mean,
no, absolutely not. I mean, speaking in tongues, it may be a gift that is extant today. Some Christians believe it is. But on the other hand, it is most certainly not a normative gift for the body of Christ, because not everyone has the gift of tongues, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Right.
Let me see if I can sneak in another call real quickly. Thanks, Roger. Larry, Long Beach, California, KKLA. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So yeah, I had a question in Matthew 7:22. Jesus says on that day, the judgment day, many will say to me, "Didn't I prophesy? Didn't I do this?" And then I'll say to them, "I never knew them." So I have three things going on there. "I never knew them" suggests to me that they were not true believers. And also, I'm not sure what enter the kingdom, is that relating to heaven or not, enter the kingdom. So a lot of people quote this verse and say these are believers that they're referring to because they perform miracles, but I don't see that. So I'm trying to get your understanding on it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right in what you just said. I mean, it is the kingdom of heaven that we're talking about. The kingdom of heaven is consummated when Christ appears a second time. But this is most certainly those who are not believers. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus contextualizes that earlier on in the passage. And he's talking about false prophets. So these are people that proclaim the name. They do miracles, but they are not real followers of Jesus Christ. They follow Christ only because of what is on the master's table, not because they love the master. I've often thought that when Jesus was saying these very words in the hearing of Judas, he had Judas in mind as he spoke. Going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember Monday through Friday at this time. Your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And a final reminder that we do what we do empowered by those who join arms with us, who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. If you can support this ministry prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Remember Darwin's House of Cards on the way out to you for those who give a gift this month. We'll see you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the DVD Revolutionary: Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife: What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Are you tired of Darwinian evolutionists claiming that if you don't agree with them, then you don't believe in science? In place of your next Netflix binge, be sure to watch the DVD Revolutionary: Michael Behe and the Mystery of Molecular Machines. This documentary film shows you not only why intelligent design theory is science, indeed science that follows the evidence wherever it leads. This film will equip you to defend the truth that all living things are the work of an intelligent designer rather than a blind and undirected material process.
To receive a copy of the DVD Revolutionary as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.